bouncing back from energy sapping, protecting yourself from undesirable energy loss. By Eileen L. Dillon, LCSW, MFT, www.emotionalpro.com. On Halloween Eve, vampires are reputed to roam the land, searching for people from whom to steal vital essence. Once they drain blood from their victims, they move on to other victims in order to survive. Halloween Eve is not the only time people are besieged by vampires who rob them of their vital essence. Every day, we encounter energy vampires, people who make a habit of living off the energy of others in order to keep themselves feeling good, and without whom they believe they would die. These energy vampires rob us of many things, such as good feelings, vitality, personal energy, self-esteem, time, hospitality, money, happiness, peace of mind, and our possessions. Their main method of interacting with others is to use them, putting a small amount of energy or attention into someone so that they can extract an even larger amount of energy or attention for themselves. They're people we encounter every day, such as family members, co-workers, spouses, children, and lovers, even ourselves, as we will discuss later. Those who habitually cannot do things for themselves, who get us to do and say things we really do not want to do and say, who use our time when we want to be elsewhere, whose niceness to us only causes us to feel trapped, who offer friendship which we are afraid to accept. Such people qualify as energy vampires in our lives. How to tell when your energy is being sapped. Our emotions tell us when our energy is being sapped. In a short while, I'll lead you through an exercise that will identify the emotions people feel when their energy is drained. It's important to identify these emotions as they are happening so we can be aware that our energy is being drained. Most of us, however, pay attention to our emotions only after the energy sapping event, which is too late because our energy is already drained. To help you feel your separate self and identify the emotions associated with energy sapping, do the following exercise. In a quiet location where you will not be interrupted, sit comfortably with your eyes closed. Pay attention to the sounds outside of your body, a barking dog, traffic, a ticking clock, people talking. Say out loud, if at all possible, "Now I am aware of the sound of the clock ticking," or "Now I'm aware of hearing people talk." After you've become aware of as many sounds around you as possible, start becoming aware of what you feel in your own body. For example, "Now I am aware of the pressure my right leg puts on my left leg where they are crossed." "Now I am aware of feeling like I need more air." Or, "Now I'm aware of a headache." Whatever you notice about your body physically, report that out loud. Finally, pay attention to your emotions and inner feelings. Report these out loud. "Now I'm aware of feeling silly doing this." "Now I'm aware of feeling tired," or "Now I'm aware of feeling interested." Whatever emotion comes to your awareness, report this out loud to yourself. Now you're ready to think about someone with whom you've been having difficulty relating. See them in your mind's eye, or remember the last disturbing interaction you had with them. Now pay attention to your inner feelings and emotions again. How did you feel the last time you were around this person? Speak your feelings out loud using the present tense. "Now I'm aware of feeling anger." Or, "Now I'm aware of feeling trapped." or now I'm aware of feeling confused. Speak out loud each of these feelings. End the exercise and write the emotions you noticed when you thought of this person. You might also record yourself as you do this exercise, which makes it easier to copy the feelings down by playing the recording back for yourself. Look at the list you've made. What emotions have you recorded regarding the person who's been difficult for you? If your list has 7 or more of the reactions listed below, then your energy is definitely being sapped by this individual. Tiredness, exhaustion, confusion, questioning your own motives, guessing about what is happening or what the person's motive is, strongly suspecting the other person's motives, anger, usually far out of proportion to the event, anger that you cannot seem to resolve, anger with yourself for what you agreed to or said, guilt, helplessness, a desire to escape, hopelessness, a there's a nothing I can do feeling, bad, wrong, or crazy, a feeling you should do something but you don't know what, a knot or tingling in your solar plexus, responsible in some way about what happened, whether for the other person, hurt feelings, or the outcome. These are feelings people report when they've encountered energy vampires in their everyday lives. Experiencing several of them indicates this individual is an energy vampire in your life. If you experience these feelings frequently when you're around certain people, then they operate as energy vampires for you. When you first look, you may in fact find that almost everyone in your life stimulates 7 or more of these feeling reactions. What is energy sapping? Energy sapping is the act of co-opting the energy and/or personal resources of another person, rather than using one's own energy and personal resources. Instead of dealing with life and its challenges yourself, you lean on others. This use of other people's personal energy is done without their permission and usually without their awareness. If you are the energy vampire, you often sap other people's energy without being aware of doing that yourself. When does energy sapping begin? All people are born energy sappers. Because a baby's brain and body are not developed enough for them to take care of themselves and meet their own needs, newborn babies have to sap energy from others in order to survive. They need someone else to be an energy broker or agent. That is, someone who uses his or her own body, brain, and abilities to get food for the baby, make it comfortable, offer it attention and touch, and change its position. These are the things that guarantee the baby's survival. If the baby is not sufficiently connected with its caretakers, no one notices when the baby needs something, and the baby will die. An infant, all of us as infants, must be connected with another person, usually a parent, and if that connection is broken, the baby can die. Keep in mind that we are all born energy sappers. This means that an infant has to let the agent know when needs arise. The infant finds ways to put energy through the parent in order to be effective in the world. Putting that energy through the parent happens whenever the infant has needs. Think a minute about a mature person, however. Do you think of a mature person as one who must put energy through others in order to get needs met? Or do you think of a mature person as one who predominantly puts his own energy through himself, fulfilling his wants rather than his needs? This is an important distinction to make. Infants have needs. that they cannot fulfill on their own. Mature people have wants that they can invite others to fill if they wish, but which they can also fill on their own. How we progress from infantile to mature person. As we grow up, our bodies and brains develop, and we are increasingly able to survive on our own. Children have a built-in drive to become independent, doing things themselves and breaking the apron strings binding them to their parents. Two-year-olds start this process as they proclaim, "Me do it myself." Their bodies and brains are not sufficiently developed to do the things they need to be able to do in order to be independent, however. By the time a child is 3 to 4 years old, the brain and body have developed sufficiently so that many of the things necessary for staying alive can be done by the child without using another person's energy system as their energy broker. A child this age can ask for a drink of water, pull a blanket up to keep warm, or toilet herself. While she can't get a job and be totally self-sufficient, she can do most of the things necessary in order to survive on a day-to-day level. The real changeover from putting energy mainly through others to putting it mainly through ourselves occurs between the 3rd and 4th years of life. It takes many years of our young lives to complete this process, yet it naturally begins its reversal of direction between ages 3 and 4. As we will consider later on, energy sapping, also known as codependence or manipulation, is actually designed to be a thing of childhood. Like bedwetting, human beings are meant to grow out of energy sapping as they become adults. If you look around you, you'll notice how seldom this actually happens. When we don't grow out of energy sapping, we leave ourselves open to much pain, relationship trouble, and frustration throughout our lives. Unfortunately, many children do not fully achieve this changeover as the years progress. And children need help from their parents in order to make this changeover. I've discovered there are 3 reasons they don't make this transition. 1, their parents believe it's too much to ask a young child to take responsibility for themselves, even if they introduce that responsibility gradually. 2, their parents don't know how to help a child take increasing amounts of personal responsibility. 3, the parents themselves are energy sapping and are scared to lose their energy sapping connection with their child, or with anyone for that matter. Because they don't get help to start becoming their own agent or energy broker, children continue to believe they must be connected with others in order to have their needs met. At the very bottom of this, the belief is that if they lose their connection with important others, they will die. So starting at age 3 or 4, their bodies continue to grow, but emotionally they remain infantile, afraid their needs won't be met if they don't continue to use others as their energy broker. Even though it becomes increasingly less apparent as they grow up, underneath the felt need to be what I call a lifestyle energy sapper, such an individual lives in perpetual fear of dying if they're separated from others. As we'll see, they also develop an inability to spend time alone. A lifestyle energy sapper is someone who manipulates and drains energy without ceasing. Manipulative is just who that person is. After many years of living in this manner, people are not even aware of their addiction to having others broker the energy they exchange with the world. Needing an energy broker becomes the way things are, or the way I am, If life brings a painful experience, such as with loss of a marriage, job, child, or looks, this person may become very anxious and despondent. Others are heard to comment, "Jim has really been lost since Mary died," or "Mary hasn't been herself since she was laid off," or "Once she hit retirement, she changed." These comments reflect the experience that the self who's been living life prior to this powerful life change has somehow disappeared. What has really happened is that the self who existed prior to the life change was not that individual's real self after all. Since it was based on having the energy of others to keep it alive, when the others or the job disappeared, the self did too. We think the person is mature, that they've been themselves all along but have now lost that self, but those things are not true. Instead, we're seeing what happens when a person never learns to separate himself from others in order to live independently and interdependently. When the structure of his life changes, that person becomes lost, feels empty, and has little internal direction. Once the structure or the energy broker is removed, the individual literally seems to die inside. Because energy sapping is a parasitic way to live, when the connection with that host is broken, so is the energy vampire. An energy vampire does not survive very well without its blood. Why do we need energy, and what is it? Every living thing needs energy in order to grow and exist. A rose takes energy in the form of sunlight, water, and nutrients. Human beings get energy from some of these same sources. Primarily, human beings get energy in the form of attention from other human beings. The demonstrated fact that institutionalized babies who are denied human touch have a high mortality rate shows that attention from others is a major form of energy necessary for human survival. A rose that receives indirect light frequently produces a spindly plant, putting most of its growth effort into making stems and little into creating leaves and flowers. A rose that is raised in the direct light, by comparison, grows lush and full, other things being equal. Human beings who receive indirect, unclear, and inconsistent attention from others during childhood learn to spread themselves thin, putting most of their growth effort into seeking attention or paying attention to others, giving little time to developing their own sense of self. This person literally does not have the time to develop the ability to learn to put their own energy through themselves. Instead, they continue to work with their energy brokers, not learning to find out who they are separate from others. When this occurs, the person has difficulty making decisions, loving, taking action, or growing on their own. To survive, literally and emotionally, this person believes she needs other human beings constantly, continuing their energy broker role. A human being who receives direct, clear, and consistent attention is given the opportunity to grow into a full, mature, and complete person able to make decisions, take action, love, and grow independently. This kind of attention includes helping the individual to put his own energy through himself, developing personal power, and learning to live independently and interdependently. He is able to discover he does not need others constantly present in order to be all right emotionally. This person's relationships with others develop out of sharing wants and through interest and enjoyment rather than need. You may object to what I'm saying, reminding me that each of us needs others. After all, no man is an island, you may say. We do need one another in many ways. It's my belief that we're all one. We're all connected. However, when we come to live on this earth, we are given a time to learn who we are separately from others. Once we know who we are as separate individuals, which we do through our childhoods, we can come back together, such as in partnering and marriage as young adults. If we never achieve the separation, however, our coming together with others is flawed. Instead of having happy, loving relationships between two mature people, we become enmeshed with one another. Enmeshment leads to all kinds of problems, including difficulties getting along with others, difficulties working out problems between us and others, and even abuse. While we do share and exchange energy with others as adults, the key to whether those things work for us depends upon our motive. When we connect on the motive of need, our connections are problematic. When we connect on the motive of want, our connection is smoother and much more satisfying. Here is a snapshot of what can happen depending upon my motive for connection. If you and I are married and it becomes necessary for you to leave me for a while, I have two major ways I can respond: energy sapping and assertively. If I tell you that I will be lonely and distraught while you're gone, I have the motive of staying connected to you in an energy-sapping manner. I will feel like a victim of your leaving. You will most likely feel guilty for going. If, on the other hand, I tell you, I will miss you, and I understand your necessity to leave, I will be fine while you're gone, and I will be happy when you return. Then I have the motive of being mature and whole. In both cases, I will not have you around and will probably miss you. In the first case, however, I will likely not survive well in your absence. I very likely could take up with someone else while you're gone, in fact. We'll talk about why this happens later. In the second, I will most likely not only survive well, but I will do some creative and enjoyable things in your absence. Keep in mind, too, that a lifestyle energy sapper can read your energy hundreds, even thousands of miles away. Energy does not have the boundaries that people, homes, or countries have. Energy is free to travel anywhere and does so very quickly. When you're connected with a lifestyle energy sapper, any reaction you have, energy put into motion, to the lifestyle energy sapper's words or behavior will reach that person even if she is halfway around the world from you. When dealing with a lifestyle energy sapper, one of the most powerful things we can do is to master our own energy and not be drawn to constant emotional reaction to what that person says or does. How energy sapping comes into our lives. If one or more of the people in charge of raising you as a child, usually it is both, operated as an energy vampire themselves, then it will be very difficult for you to notice as an adult when your energy is being sapped. By adulthood, energy sapping behavior will just seem normal behavior to you. Many people will say that manipulation is normal. My own belief is that energy sapping is common, but it is not normal. We humans are, in fact, designed to grow out of energy sapping by adulthood so we can live out our lives as mature, independent people. Although all people live at least part of their lives codependently, we might ask ourselves whether, in the scheme of things, it is really normal to do things because someone depends on me, or because I want nothing more than to make you happy, or because it's my job and I have to. And if it's not the way life is supposed to be lived, then what is? What kind of life could we have if we did not live in energy-sapping ways? Some people are no longer codependent. Most of us, however, have what appear to be pockets of manipulative behaviors and connections. When you look, they are manipulative in some parts of their lives, but not in others. They could be very honest and reliable in a work situation, for example, but tell white lies socially. In whatever areas of our lives we fear being separated from others, thinking we won't be okay if someone dislikes us or believe we don't do enough for them, we'll tend to behave manipulatively. This is important to remember when addressing your own energy-sapping behaviors. Remember that the major difference between being an energy vampire and a mature adult is that the adult clearly asks for desired energy and assistance, while the energy vampire gets energy when we're not looking, often without our permission, and then says we are bad, wrong, or crazy when we protest. How energy sapping persists in our lives. Years ago, when I was reacting to the behavior of my estranged first husband, I was appalled to realize he'd been manipulating me throughout the marriage. As a new psychotherapist, I determined to figure out how people manipulate or use one another and find out what could be done about it. For about 6 months, I talked with my clients, observed people, and searched the psychological literature and within myself. Then I discovered what I now call the first rule of energy sapping, which is, it takes one to know one. That's when I became appalled at the manipulation I had been doing. Simple as it may sound, we have energy-draining people in our lives because we ourselves are energy-draining. The ancient universal principle that governs this is like attracts like. If you are an angry person, you will tend to attract other angry people. If you are a loving person, you will tend to attract other loving people. Similarly, if you are codependent, manipulative, energy sapping, you'll tend to attract other codependent, manipulative, energy sapping people. Though you may not be consciously aware of it, the rule of it takes one to know one never fails. If you're relating intimately with someone you feel is sapping your energy, then you're in some way sapping their energy. There is some way in which you feel you will not be all right without whatever it is the energy vampire is giving you. In my relationship with my former husband, I discovered that I had a belief that I was unlovable. My husband had stepped up, told me he loved me, and proved it by asking me to marry him. I was sapping his energy to fill the psychological hole in me that said, I am not lovable. To get out of that relationship in which he was draining my energy too, I needed to change that belief and heal the hole in myself. Look at this in the relationship between Natalie and Anne. Natalie says about Anne, Anne is really valuable to talk to. She has a lot of information. She's so friendly to me and so accommodating to me. And I don't know why, but I think she must like me. She's constantly trying to get us together somehow. Come over and have lunch and all this stuff. Sometimes she is cold. She has hurt me plenty of times by canceling a get-together. Usually, it's because someone else is more interesting. So there are several things about being with her that I can't figure out. One is why she is so interested in being with me. Even though she does drop me frequently, one time she did say that I was interesting, and it completely appalled me because I feel so uninteresting around her. This is from a transcript of a therapy session used with permission with names changed. Notice that Anne makes herself valuable through her attention and information. Natalie, who feels empty, experiences herself as valuable through Anne's eyes and behavior. Anne gives Natalie a sense of importance and relevance that she wants, and Natalie attaches to Anne in order to get that energy regardless of the price. The energy sapping hook. Anne offers energy and attention to Natalie. In her own words, Natalie does not feel interesting to others, and she cannot figure out why someone like Anne would like her. Natalie's hook for energy sapping is her belief that she is uninteresting and unlikable. Anne, or anyone, can hook Natalie in an energy-sapping relationship by paying attention to her, showing signs of liking her, and finding her interesting company. The question to be asked is, what might Anne see in a person who thinks so little of herself as Natalie? Anne gets a person who eagerly makes energy available to her and over whom she can have some control. In this example, Anne gives attention to Natalie, who's taking it from her. Anne seems to be the giver and Natalie the taker. Yet Anne is also getting energy in the form of attention. These giver and taker roles occur frequently in energy-sapping relationships, yet it's often difficult for the outside observer to tell which is which. In reality, both Anne and Natalie are takers. However, to keep the energy-sapping relationship operating well, at any particular time, one usually plays the taking role and the other the giving role. The giver gives what the taker appears to need, needing the taker to take. If the taker no longer takes, the giver is thrown into confusion, having only two choices: leave the relationship by grabbing on to another taker, or grow and stop sapping energy. If the taker blocks the energy sapping and stops giving energy, she will be dropped altogether, as the energy vampire will find and adopt a new victim. Energy vampires must have an energy broker, so if the taker abandons her role, the energy vampire must find another person in need of a broker, fast. If you behave in energy-sapping ways, you will attract and relate to energy-sapping people. If you behave in assertive, mature ways, you will attract and relate to mature and assertive people. Thus, if you feel you're heavily involved in energy-sapping relationships now, the most effective way to bounce back from those energy losses is to become more mature and assertive yourself, thus reducing your availability to be hooked. It is not, however, an easy process to change from being an energy vampire to being a mature, assertive person. In fact, people feel like they might die when they give up their old addiction to having an energy broker. To give it up, we must experience our separation. It is because we must walk through this frightening valley of the shadow of death in order to drop our people addictions that we hang on to them. We say to ourselves, the inconveniences and hurts we experience from the energy vampire could not be as horrible as the pain of facing the death of who we believe ourselves to be. Certainly, being alone is too great a risk. We might die. And so we hold on, playing our game of being victimized or of staying connected with others regardless of the price, rather than take the risk of being alone and facing our own selves. If you are willing to face this risk, however, you can become a mature, assertive, and non-energy-sapping individual. The benefits of doing this cannot be measured. It's the difference between being a victim in life and living a life you want and love. One of the first things a person needs to do in moving toward greater assertiveness and maturity is to learn to block the energy-sapping behaviors of those around you. This will minimize the extent to which you are victimized by energy-sapping while you become stronger and more independent yourself. Before we get to learning how to block the energy-sapping of others, it's a good idea to learn to recognize them by developing a familiarity with the characteristics of lifestyle energy sappers. Remember, the lifestyle energy sapper is someone who uses the energy of other people almost exclusively, having never learned how to put their own energy through themselves. Most people are not fully lifestyle energy sappers, instead having pockets of energy sapping behaviors. However, knowing the characteristics of a lifestyle energy sapper will allow you to recognize those pockets. Characteristics of the lifestyle energy sapper. Let me clarify at the outset that most people who drain others' energy do not exhibit all the characteristics of the lifestyle energy sapper. I list them here as the most complete example of how you can recognize someone who drains energy. If someone consistently exhibits 7 of these characteristics, make note that your energy will be drained by that individual unless you take steps to step out of the energy sapping process. Don't be surprised if you recognize some of these characteristics in yourself. Remember, it takes one to know one. 1. Uncomfortable alone. Remember that we're born needing to be connected with our energy broker, usually a parent. When we don't get help learning to put our own energy through ourselves, we end up being terrified of living separately from others. So we spend very little time alone. Even if we live alone, which is usually not the case, we make sure we have plans or stay connected with the world through televisions, radio, stereo, or interacting constantly on social media. We make sure never to be disconnected from others. 2. Single-eyed. Concentration is the key to power. The lifestyle energy sapper appears powerful because he's so concentrated on what is important to him. He focuses on his own view of things, what he sees as right or wrong, how he tells that someone else has transgressed, what he likes or dislikes, or what he believes was the agreement. These are the things upon which the lifestyle energy sapper focuses. 3. Appears powerful. Because the lifestyle energy sapper is so focused on what is important to him, he appears to be quite powerful. A woman I know lived for years capitulating to the father of her child, believing him to be powerful beyond measure. I kept telling her this was not so, but she didn't believe me. He told others he was motivated by making the woman's life miserable every day and kept her in court most of the early years of their child's life. Finally, when their daughter was 14, the daughter stood up to him and told him she could not get along with him no matter what he offered. During the time scheduled for them to be together, she confronted him and left his home, returning to her mother's. She never returned. Because the child had been so calm, clear, and mature in her leaving, he took no legal action, which the woman had feared. In keeping with my prediction, the father crumbled. He had no power at all. After a few efforts to manipulate the situation, he actually moved away and was not heard from again. The lifestyle energy sapper is really only as powerful as a 3 or 4-year-old, or as the connection that the energy broker allows. 4. On, up on the latest. If, as a lifestyle energy sapper, I'm desperate to keep others connected to me, then how I look to them really matters. Because I have little of substance active inside of me, appearances become extremely important. You will often hear a lifestyle energy sapper say something such as, "How do you think that looks?" or, "I don't want to do that because it might make me look bad." The picture the lifestyle energy sapper shows to others becomes vitally important to her. One way for the lifestyle energy sapper to look good is to be able to talk about and relate to the latest, whether it is in entertainment, technology, family gossip, or knowledge of the behavior of music or movie stars. This also allows the lifestyle energy sapper to feed energy to her followers, so they give even more energy back to her because she becomes the go-to person for information in these areas. 5. Misremembers facts. The lifestyle energy sapper remembers what has happened in his own favor. Once, I exchanged a series of letters with a man in an attempt to come to an agreement. Just as we were reaching resolution, in my observation, the man claimed we would not be able to agree without outside help, and asked me to meet with him and a lawyer of our mutual acquaintance. I agreed. I did not totally trust the lawyer, but felt settling the matter would go more smoothly for this man if he brought the lawyer in. Because he felt the need for the meeting with the lawyer and I did not, he paid for those services. More than 2 years later, this man wrote to me requesting a favor. When I declined, I received a second letter that said, 2 years ago, we were having trouble reaching an agreement. At that time, I agreed to pay for the lawyer you requested, in order that agreement could be reached. He was quite convinced of my having requested the lawyer because he had misremembered the facts in his own favor. We all have a tendency to do this, yet with the lifestyle energy sapper, this becomes the default behavior in almost every instance. In this case, I had evidence that the man had requested the attorney. He stopped attempting to use this to control my behavior once I shared the evidence with him. This can be a most frustrating behavior with the lifestyle energy sapper because, unless you have evidence, the tendency is just to go round and round on an issue with no hope of resolution. 6. Misremembers contracts. Similarly, the lifestyle energy sapper misremembers contracts to which she has agreed. This turns out to create very puzzling situations for most people, something very characteristic of energy sapping situations. A story illustrates this puzzling behavior. A man and his wife receive word that his parents are coming for a visit. Their living room has been a mess for several months, while the wife conducts a redecorating project. 2 months before the parents' scheduled arrival, the husband requests that his wife complete the project before their arrival. She agrees. 3 weeks later, nothing has changed. The husband makes a second request, this time emphasizing how important it is to him that his parents be comfortable in their home. Again, the wife agrees to make a change. Finally, it is 2 weeks prior to the parents' arrival. At least 2 days of work remain to be done. The husband is incensed. If you don't get that living room completed, I'm leaving. My parents and I will visit in a hotel. Suddenly, the wife begins to clear up the living room. To her husband's surprise, she works diligently. After a day and a half, he starts to relax and enjoys thoughts of having the room completely cleared in a way that it hasn't been for nearly a year. When he arrives home from work on the evening of the day he has started having those hopes, he notices that the project has not been finished. In fact, nothing has been done since the previous day. The project is now partially done, but several hours from completion. He says to his wife, "What happened? Why isn't the living room finished?" She gets angry with him, telling him his constant pressure is what has kept her from finishing the project all along. They argue. The wife storms out of the house. It's now less than 2 weeks before his parents' arrival, and the project is again at a standstill. An hour or two after she returns home, he requests that his wife complete the project, and she agrees to do so. 3 days later, nothing has been accomplished. Whenever I share this story with people, they smile and nod knowledgeably. Almost all of us have had similar experiences. What is going on? When we understand energy sapping, we recognize this as what I call the promise them anything but do only what you have to syndrome. Here is how it works. When the husband asks initially, the stakes are not high. His wife knows nothing will happen if she agrees and then does nothing. She knows he'll ask again and again, not really doing anything if she agrees but then doesn't comply. Suddenly, as the cutoff day draws near, her husband threatens to separate his connection with her if she doesn't keep her promise. As a lifestyle energy sapper who is at her deepest levels terrified to be alone and not connected, she realizes she must do the work in order to keep the connection. So she jumps in and starts completing the project. However, like any lifestyle energy sapper worth her salt, she has a notion that her husband's resolve to make separation will wane. As if she's using a radar receiver, the wife continues to read her husband's energy. The minute she perceives that she can let the project go without threat of him separating from her, she drops the effort and returns to her previous stance. As you can see in this story, they then go back to the beginning, with the husband asking for her cooperation, the wife agreeing, and nothing being done. Every day in our world, this type of scenario is repeated over and over and over again in every type of relationship situation we can imagine. To recap, the lifestyle energy sapper will make promises she doesn't really intend to keep. She will not keep the promise unless the connection she has with the other person is threatened. At that point, she will get right to work filling the promise. She will also start sweeping with her internal radar, looking for signs that she will not have to endure a break in the connection, even if she does not complete the promise. At that point, she'll return to her pre-promise level of behavior. As the other person realizes the promise still goes unfulfilled, the requests for compliance will begin again, with a replay of the promise them anything but do only what you have to syndrome. We may believe we're dealing with an adult, but doesn't this sound like the behavior of a youngster? 7. Twists events. Tom and his friend James attended a party together. Over the refreshment table, they both spied the same beautiful young woman. Tom started talking with her, got refreshments for her, and was having a good time when James stepped in. James told her about Tom's speedboat, on which they both recreated on weekends. He told her he was certain Tom would love to have her aboard. Knowing that Tom was going away the following weekend, James suggested the young woman go out on the boat the following Saturday, to which she agreed. Continuing to talk about Tom and Tom's boat, James nonetheless secured a date for himself. Tom was furious. The following day, Tom confronted James with his upset. "What do you mean?" asked James. "I was setting things up for you. I only talked about you and told her it was your boat. She really had eyes for you, so I just decided to keep things going for you until you get back from your trip." Feeling defeated in his efforts to stand up for himself, Tom left for his trip. When he returned, James informed him that the time on the boat with the young woman had been magical and much beyond his control. They had both fallen for each other. Once again, Tom protested. James responded, "What's the matter with you? You think I deliberately tried to steal her from you? You're wrong to think I would ever do such a thing. You're crazy to tell me I've been less than honorable. What happened occurred on its own. There was nothing either of us could do about it." To recap, the lifestyle energy sapper interprets events favorably to himself, turning the facts of the situation around to suit his ends. When confronted, the lifestyle energy sapper responds with a predictable three-step response. You're bad. You're wrong. You're crazy. No matter with whom you're dealing, the lifestyle energy sapper inevitably uses these same three words and in the same order. 8. Appears interested. Curiously, a lifestyle energy sapper frequently appears very, very interested in you and others. Yet, investigation proves this is not so. A man of my acquaintance seemed very concerned about another man who worked for him, who had applied to attend graduate school. The prospective student asked for the other man to write a letter of recommendation for him. The first man agreed to do so. Several weeks later, the prospective student showed up in tears at the first man's home, reporting that he had been turned down for admission to graduate school. He thanked the other man for all he had done to help him gain admission. "It was nothing," replied the first man. "I'm only sorry you didn't get admitted." 2 weeks later, the man's wife came to me in great distress. "I always type things for my husband because he cannot type," she explained. "I know he never wrote that letter of recommendation because I never typed it. When I asked him about it, he shocked me. He said he was never going to get into that college in the first place." This man appeared to be interested in the prospective student, yet not only made a promise he didn't bother to keep, but also neglected to tell the truth. The lifestyle energy sapper appears interested in others. Unfortunately, the need to stay connected so that individual doesn't have to face life alone takes precedence over real interest, love, or even empathy. The reason the lifestyle energy sapper shows interest is to collect information, which in turn can be used to keep others connected. As a lifestyle energy sapper, I will know about your relationship with your sister or brother. You'll think I'm interested in how that relationship is going. In reality, my interest is to be able to use that information to cement my position in your life, to make sure our energy sapping connection remains intact. Just as the man in the story, who appeared to care whether his employee was admitted to graduate school, but really did nothing to help him in applying to the school, the lifestyle energy sapper will look for all the world like he's vitally interested in what is going on in your life, while all the while really retaining the information for later use whenever it's important to make sure you stay connected to him. 9. Behaves differently. Many surveys and studies have reported that one of the activities Americans fear most is getting up in front of a group of people to give a talk. This fear surfaces, in my observation, because we are such a nation of manipulators. What we do as manipulators is to become the person we think the other person needs us to be. When we do this, we feed energy to the other person, which then positions them to give us the energy we crave in the form of their attention. The manipulator gives a little bit of just the right kind of attention, and the target person gives a lot, certainly more than most people are aware of giving. Perhaps you've noted how amazing it is that a lifestyle energy sapper has the uncanny knack of picking the thing that is most important to a person as the basis for manipulation. If it's important for you to be a loyal person, when the manipulator wants to control your behavior, he'll call on you to be loyal or chide you for not being really loyal unless you do as expected. So, for your part, you emphasize demonstrating your loyalty. Now both of you, it takes one to know one, are comforted that the connection will not be broken. This means, however, that the lifestyle energy sapper must become someone different for each person with whom they have an energy sapping connection. If you stand before a room full of people, this pressures you to be a different person for every individual in the room. Too much pressure. Only if you have a specific role or job that you can do while in front of the group can you really stand before people and talk. Singing, clowning, presiding, or doing some type of task. These things allow the lifestyle energy sapper to stand in front of a group and talk without melting down. Because the lifestyle energy sapper behaves differently with different people, it's easier to deal with others on an individual basis unless the lifestyle energy sapper can adopt a specific role with specific behaviors required for the role. Exhausting. When we are with lifestyle energy sappers, we think we're just having fun, working together, or living our life. Most of us don't realize that the energy with which we live our life is being drained out of us all the time we're together with such individuals. We know we get tired when we work or exercise strenuously. Most of us don't know that we get tired just by talking with or hanging out with a lifestyle energy sapper. Yet, we do. The exhaustion can creep up on us, leaving us suddenly and unexplainably exhausted. The strange thing is that if we leave the lifestyle energy sapper to go do something on our own, we can be amazed that within a short time of leaving, we start feeling good and having energy. That's because the hemorrhage of our vital energy has stopped. Many people think there's something wrong with them. Why was I so tired at Mom and Dad's? And here it is only 15 minutes later, and I'm happy and singing with the music on my car radio. Take a look at how you feel when you spend time with the people in your life. If you find yourself tired or taking a nap following a visit with particular people, consider that they might be lifestyle energy sappers. 11. Perceptive. As we have mentioned, people who sap the energy of others have an uncanny ability to select their most tender area and push on that area in order to get what they need. If, for example, you take pride in being loyal to your friends and family, the energy sapper will accuse you of being disloyal, especially if you're not willing to do what he needs. Or, if money is a sore spot for you, the energy sapper will borrow money and then be unable or unwilling to repay it. Whatever you hold most dear, this is where the energy sapper will enter and push. How does the energy sapper do this? Keep in mind that energy sapping goes on from the earliest moments of life. This means that a person who has not outgrown energy sapping still operates as a small child does. Children study the people, parents and caregivers, around them and then push their buttons. Children push buttons in their parents' weakest areas. It's their job. Unfortunately, it's not the job of an adult to push the buttons, the way a child does, of others in their lives. Yet a lifestyle energy sapper will do just that. Keep in mind, too, that the lifestyle energy sapper can read your energy even when he is far away from you. It's an interesting paradox and drives many people crazy that the lifestyle energy sapper can be so extremely perceptive in reading others, yet also cannot see them for who they really are. We talk about that next. The perceptiveness goes hand in hand with the sapper's need to feed energy into another person so that she gets the energy back that she so desperately needs. 12. Cannot see others as they really are. If I look at you for who you are, I must stand back and at least temporarily become an observer. This means that you and I are separate. As a lifestyle energy sapper, I'm terrified to be separate from others. This means, then, that I will be unable to see you for who you really are because I can't take the risk of separating from you long enough to do that. So, if you tell me you love gold jewelry, but white gold is my favorite, When I buy you jewelry, I'll give you white gold. If you express a political opinion different from mine, I may attack you verbally, attempting to get you to see things my way. I may seem desperate to get you to change. I am. If I'm a child and I want you to stand in a particular place near me, I may scream at you if you don't cooperate. I don't take things as is, and I can't see you as is either. If you insist that you're different from me, it may shock me. If you become too different from me, I may have to let you go, moving on to someone else. 13. Believe in action only. Because the adults in a child's life have not confronted and dealt with energy-sapping behaviors, the lifestyle energy sapper has a long history of having people talk about what they want different, but not really exert the power to actually stop the energy-sapping behavior. This means that most lifestyle energy sappers get to the point of A, believing they can't be stopped, and B, believing in action only, and they don't expect others to actually take action. Here's an event that happened very publicly that illustrates this point. In 1987, presidential candidate Gary Hart, in an interview that appeared in the New York Times, responded to the rumors of his womanizing. He was quoted, "Follow me around. I don't care. I'm serious. If anybody wants to put a tail on me, go ahead. They'll be very bored." Clearly, he did not expect anyone to take action on this. The press media did. It was revealed that he spent the weekend with a woman, Donna Rice, a revelation that began Hart's downhill slide. Ultimately, Hart discontinued his run for the presidency. Why would Hart throw out such a challenge to the media when he already knew he was culpable? Interesting, isn't it? Only when the action was taken by the press, writing stories with names and dates accompanied by pictures taken from a distance, did Hart have to contend with the consequences of his behavior. And he initially attempted to deny it. It was only when the media took action that Hart changed his trajectory. If you have a lifestyle energy sapper in your life, be prepared to stop talking about what you would like to have different and take action instead. 14. Controlling. One of the most widely held false beliefs we human beings have is that we can actually control things. If we hold on tightly enough, pressure others sufficiently, behave perfectly, or say the right words, surely we can control what happens and how things turn out. Nowhere is this more amply demonstrated than in energy sapping, where one of the personality characteristics of the lifestyle energy sapper is controlling. Why is controlling behavior rampant in energy sapping? Interestingly, the way we get energy from others through the energy sapping process is that we put a little bit of energy into other people, smiling, complimenting, visiting with, giving presents to, for example, so that they return the energy we need to us. There are two very practical problems with a system like this. They include, one, people don't always make themselves available at the time, in the place, or to the extent that we need them. This puts the lifestyle energy sapper in the position of not always being able to get the energy that she needs at the time she feels she needs it, merely because the broker is not fully available to us. Second, the lifestyle energy sapper doesn't always get the amount of energy she believes she needs. This is because our energy broker, like any broker, keeps a percentage of the energy. Not only is our broker not the same as us, so that the broker won't always value or share the right things or the right amount of what we need, but the broker, like any broker, takes a percentage of the energy for himself. So the lifestyle energy sapper ends up not getting all that she needs. But the need for energy is very powerful. So the lifestyle energy sapper needs her brokers to be in the right place, have the right attitude, and so forth, so the energy can be passed to her. This leads to controlling. If I, as a lifestyle energy sapper, can corral my broker to be in the right place, to go for the energy I need, or to pay careful attention to the connection between us, then I can get the energy I know I need without undue distress. So I control. I offer sex, gifts, experiences, help, support, or money, and tie it to the broker doing what I want him to do. If those nice things don't work, I'll use shaming, guilt-slinging, criticism, or judgments to make sure that the broker behaves the way I need him to. An easy and very common way with lifestyle energy sappers is to use the process of finding others bad, wrong, or crazy, using such statements to whip the broker into shape for proper delivery of the needed energy. 15. Telltale vocabulary. People drain energy in different ways. At the end of this booklet, I include my energy sapping digest, which lists several different ways of draining energy, both passive and aggressive. In addition, energy can be drained through the eyes, through the voice, and through using particular phrases. Not every lifestyle energy sapper uses phrases, what I call the telltale vocabulary, but most do. That vocabulary is a language of inclusion. We were feeling bad today. Our life has been difficult, or everyone feels bad. This language pattern can be used with very mundane things, such as people in a family saying, "We don't really like salt," leaving others to believe that everyone in the family feels the same way about salting their food. Beware of a person in your life who uses this type of inclusive telltale vocabulary. It's a characteristic behavior of a lifestyle energy sapper. It will be a good tip-off for you that you need to utilize your tools to avoid having your energy drain. 16. Often only believes person in authority. As a marriage and family therapist for more than 40 years, I've been privy to lots of couples going through divorce. Especially in cases that are bitterly contested, one estranged partner may refuse to listen or cooperate despite the legalities, not in agreement with that person's stance, being explained. The lifestyle energy sapper may push and frustrate everyone involved in trying to work things out. Only when the decision is decided by a judge, a person who has authority, will that person cooperate, but even then, often not without a fight. Of course, if the decision of a judge is not closely monitored, the lifestyle energy sapper will still attempt to circumvent those orders. In one divorce case, things dragged on for nearly 3 years. One of the parties was obfuscating. The judge, not wanting to take the time to find out who was doing what, ordered that both parties had to pay a $500 fine for taking up too much of the court's time. One party paid the $500. The one who was obfuscating refused. Unfortunately, in this case, the judge did not enforce his own ruling. The obfuscating partner died about 5 years later with the $500 still unpaid. If you believe you're dealing with a lifestyle energy sapper, save your breath. Don't try to talk that person into cooperating with you. Go directly for authority. It may not operate perfectly, but it's bound to save you a lot of time and frustration. 17. Not responsible. If a person takes responsibility for decisions or actions, the moment of taking that responsibility separates him from others. I take responsibility. I separate from others. It's too scary for a lifestyle energy sapper to take responsibility. Just like a little child who runs across the floor, collides with a chair, and then says, "That chair made me fall down," the lifestyle energy sapper looks for someone to blame. My life would be good except for you. I had that wreck because you distracted me by talking to me about your troubles. I'm mad at you for making me do something that got me into difficulties. You always make me feel guilty. Our list could go on endlessly. If there isn't a person to blame, blame can be given to circumstances or fate. Quick reattachment to an energy broker. We see this characteristic in operation frequently, though usually don't identify it as a telltale sign of codependence in action. It happens most often when one of the partners in a marriage has an affair. What is happening is that something in the marriage is not working right. As adults, the two people would sit down and work to figure out what that is, correcting all that they could correct. If they couldn't fix it, they would call it quits. In codependent relationships, however, instead of identifying and facing what is not working well, people put their heads down and don't look at what is going on. Instead of facing what needs to be faced in the marriage, one or both of the partners discovers a new person and has an affair. Often, it is said that the affair just happened, no taking of responsibility. This is because the problems in the relationship foreshadow the loss of the other person as broker. Since the lifestyle energy sapper believes he cannot survive without attachment to a broker, a new broker needs to be found quickly, so there is no time in which the lifestyle energy sapper will not be connected to a broker. And this arrangement works really well for the lifestyle energy sapper because he lives with a foot in two relationships. If the marriage works out, he needs merely to step back into the marriage. If the marriage ends, he needs merely to step into the new relationship. Never a moment alone. My first husband and I married very young when we were both 19. When that marriage ended 9 years later, my estranged husband moved in with a woman he knew within 2 or 3 days of leaving me. While he was living with her in her home and when she was present, he would call me on the phone nightly to tell me he loved me and cry because we were apart. He had left me, so I was quite angry with him. It didn't take long for me to notice that something was definitely wrong. If he loved me so much, I asked myself, why was he living with another woman? The answer, as I eventually figured out, was because he was obliged to attach himself to a new energy broker. He was terrified to be alone. He quickly reattached to a new broker because he knew he could no longer rely on me to fill that role, and he desperately needed someone to act as energy broker for him. It's painful when you've been in a relationship with someone you love, and they leave and immediately reattach to someone else, or do it before they leave. Yet, when the relationship is based on energy sapping, this is inevitable. For me, it was helpful to understand why that happened and to realize it was bound to happen so long as the energy sapping continued. 19. Winning ways. I was once at a professional convention. A group of us needed help from one of the presenters. I was planning to ask when another woman stepped forward and said, "I'll do it. I'm smaller than you. Small women can get away with more than big women." In families, which of our children usually is able to continue feeding their energy broker enough energy to keep them connected and not pushing for self-responsibility? The cute one. The one who knows just what to say. The one who has winning ways. Cute children, it seems, can get away with a lot, just like small women. If your body continues to grow to maturity while you remain a lifestyle energy drainer, it stands to reason you'll still be using those winning ways. Remember that with the lifestyle energy sapper, the body has continued to grow to adulthood, while the emotions have remained frozen at the 3 to 4 year old level. Those charming, winning ways have also been brought forward from childhood making most lifestyle energy sappers very good with words, charming, persuasive, and able to win over the most hardened people. Energy sappers are often so wonderful that people allow themselves to be mistreated in order to stay connected to them. Those people will say things like, "I don't know anyone else who is as interesting as Jorge." Or, "I'm afraid I'll miss something wonderful if I don't keep hanging out with Amy." If you don't feel whole and complete yourself, you'll be vulnerable to the interesting winning ways of the lifestyle energy sapper. What can we do to preserve our own energy from being drained? We can recognize these characteristic behaviors, and then we need effective tools.